Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. Hello, everyone. I'm Saint Rick. I want to thank all of you for attending each and every week, as loyal as you are, and the thousands around the world now in 79 countries that currently are listening. And we wanted to thank you for all of you who are joining us for the first time, and even those who aren't here today. We want to also thank my good friend, Saint Albert, coming from South Carolina, who's joining me as usual on these wonderful times of worship for God and the greatest news on the planet. Good morning, St. Albert.
Good morning, Rick. It's a good day again today. Thank God.
Excellent. Excellent day. Definitely. I'm really excited about today because we're going to get an opportunity to talk about what is the true church? Who is the true church? What does it mean to be in the true church, and who is not in the true church? Is the building the church? We're about to find out. What say you, St. Albert?
Well, yeah, Rick. we're going to get into some passages here that are probably difficult to swallow for some people, you know. And before we get into those passages, maybe we ought to do some clarifications as to some things. And that is, we're going to be talking about the church. As you said, who are we? And one of the things that get confused out there, because there's religions, sometimes when they hear this message, people might think that we're claiming to be our own gods, which that is satanic. That was what the devil planted to Eve, that she could be her own God by her works. In other words, a little God. And that is not what we're going to be claiming today. Also, there was another satanic attack to Eve that it goes in hand with that. And that is that the devil told her that she wasn't who God claimed that she was. And that is also all the way in the other area, which is another teaching of the devil, you know. In other words, there's two teachings of the devil that they both have to do with your identity and the church. One of them is that you could be a god apart from God. In other words, a little god. And the other teaching is that you are not part of God, that God did not create you, or now, you know, that was Adam and Eve, that they were created in God's image, but now we're born into God, you see? So we are even different than Adam and Eve, because now we are part of God. And that is hard to swallow for people who are religious too, because they don't believe this. Just like the devil from the beginning, has always told us that we shouldn't believe this either. So those are the two stands, Lord, that the Lord has really nailed down, that we should pick the right stand, and the right stand is in neither one of those two. The right stand is that we are part of him, and as being part of him, we are as gods, in effect, because we're part of him, but we're not our own gods. It's just like talking about Jesus Christ. The people claim that Jesus Christ, there's religions out there that say that Jesus Christ was a little God. No, Jesus Christ is God because he's part of God. And so is the bride. The bride is God because it's part of God. And that's hard to swallow.
There's a lot of things that are hard to swallow if you don't have the right vision on that you're holding in front of you, which is Christ himself. If you've got yourself held up, or I call it comparison theology. So, for example, you have a person that they can't wait to compare their self to another person. That's kind of legalistic. The only person we can compare ourselves to is God. and Christ, what he did here on earth. And we really have to come to the realization that we are here because of God loving us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for us, to be abused, to be, you know, buried and then resurrected from the dead so that we can have a relationship with him. And that's why God, Christ, said to Nicodemus, you must be reborn. Well, you're first born of water, and then you're born of the Spirit. So when you're born of water, that's the natural birth that happens through the birth canal from women. Then you're born of the Spirit, which is being born again through Christ by accepting his son dying on the cross. So comparison theology is man saying that they have the right answers and the other man not having the right answers, when we all know that all the right answers are in the Word, and he is the Word, and the Word was from the beginning, and the Word was God, and he was with God from the beginning, as John says. And we have been called gods in the Bible? Is that true? Is that really true? Let's look. Let's go to Psalms 82, and we're going to read it here as it's written. It is written, not it is ricked. It's written. Okay, let's go to Psalms 82. God stands in the congregation of the mighty and judge among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked one. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of their earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. I didn't write it, folks. I'm just reading it. And some people say, yeah, well, that's in the Old Testament. He's referring to something different. What is he referring to here, St. Albert?
He's referring to his people, Rick, you know, and it so happens, you know, it's kind of funny that it refers here to two things that the church gets wrong. First of all, who we are. And then the second thing is, because of who we are, we're supposed to help the hopeless and all that. And both of them, the church gets wrong here, you know?
Yeah. And here, what's really interesting about this, it says a Psalm of Asaph or Asaph, okay? Some people say, well, that's not God doing that. Well, if you don't like that answer, let's go to the New Testament and let's go to John. It's one of the Gospels. Uh-oh. And it's in chapter 10. Uh-oh. Who's speaking? It's Jesus speaking. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No matter how bad you legalists do not like what we're preaching. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. John 10:31. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Now, this is right after Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to say that you are one with God, be prepared, because here's what's next. They're going to pick up stones and throw them at you. Mm-hmm. And in John 10:32, Jesus says, answered them and said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? He already knew the answer to this question, but he wanted them to think because they were so works-oriented. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law? I said. Ooh, wait a minute. I said. Now, that is about the most blatant thing, saying that in their law, I said. Jesus admits he's God right in front of them right now by saying, I said, ye are gods.
No.
If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God. They're being stoned. He's being stoned for saying that he is the Son of God. He and God are one.
Yeah.
So if you are one with God, uh-oh. Sorry,
what does that make you?
Yeah.
And the thing is, Rick, that, you know, they will stone him, and they didn't just stone him, but they called him that he was working out of Satan. there's other places where they call him that he's a Satanist, you know? Yeah. And that's the same thing, that they blame people like you and me, like saints like you and me, of Satanism.
That's
because
right.
We're claiming that we're part of God, and that makes us God. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people don't realize this. You know, we talk about the Trinity, and you know, and the New Covenant, when it talks about the Trinity, most people don't realize that in most scriptures and the old scriptures that they have found, that place there is not there. And it was probably put in place. Most people think that it was put in place because of monks, because they were trying to protect. And I understand what they were trying to do. What they were trying to protect is people coming in and saying that Jesus Christ was not part of God and Jesus Christ was not God. And that's understandable. But this same thing that they have put in there to protect that, what happens is now people think that the bride of Christ or the church or the saints, whatever you want to call them, are not part of God. Because there's only a Trinity. There's only three persons in God. Well, let me tell you that the Bible doesn't talk about that in the New Covenant. The Bible says that the saints are part of God. In fact, the prayer, the true prayer of Jesus Christ says that just like Jesus and God are one, that we will become one with them. When we walk, folks, you know, when we walk someplace, it's like if God himself walks in that place. Because we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And since we are the body of Christ, guess whose body we are too? We are the body of God. God the Father. We are the body of the Spirit. So, you know, I mean, you might not believe this, but that's what the Bible talks about. And that's who we are. That's the whole intention of God bringing us into the world is to extend his family. Hmm. And we are his family. By birth now. It used to be before by creation, but now it's by birth. So, you know, people out there could say that this is Satanist and all kinds of stuff, but it's what the Bible says. Either you believe the Bible or you don't. You believe what Jesus Christ himself says or you don't. That's up to you. But
hey,
you
really?
Know what?
Yeah. No, go ahead.
But you know what? That if you do believe this, you're believing your identity. And when you believe your identity, what happens is that all that scary stuff that religion and the world has a hold with you will all be released. All this stuff that you will lose your salvation, all this stuff that the sin has power over you, all this stuff that God doesn't really want you, all this stuff will be gone because nobody will be able to fool you again. And this thing that the devil did and fooled Eve is what he's fooling people with, is with the identity. Hmm. Sorry, Rick, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, you absolutely nailed it. You know, I've got some verses here that talk about some of the real false teachers, and the Bible has, many of the verses that talk about him, but one of the things it says in Luke 6:26, it says, "Woe unto you, everyone that speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." So if everybody's speaking well of you, you cannot be teaching the gospel, because Jesus himself was crucified, and all the disciples that were with him and you know, the apostles, and they were all eventually crucified for what? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's freedom. You know, it's freedom. It's true freedom. It's he was the ultimate soldier. You know, Christ was the ultimate soldier that paid the ultimate price for the ultimate freedom. And a lot of legalists can't handle that, because then they lose control. It's no longer about them having power over another human. It's no longer about them being in control of their money, control of their lives, and control of what they do, and control of their messages, and control of their confessions, and control of all the knowledge that is going on in their lives, all the money that's going on in their lives, and all the freedom that's going on in their lives. You know, they control the politics of their world, they control the economics of the world, and they control the religion of the world. That's really what man is all about, you know? Yeah. When God is about freedom for freedom's sake, you know, he set us free. And why did he set us free? And what did it cost us? Nothing.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. True freedom comes at a price that you cannot pay. True freedom comes from a price that we cannot pay. Matthew 24, "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." False prophets come in many different forms. False teachers come in many different forms. What would be an example of a false teacher and a false prophet?
Well, Rick, a false teacher and a false prophet, one of them will be identity. You know, that they will come to you and attack directly your identity, or they will not show you your identity. And that way, what they do is that they have control over you with your money, with your talents, with everything. They have full control. That's what religion does. It has full control of the people. And when you have full control of a person, what happens is that what that person was created for, he's not doing, because he's so involved in religious things. And then not just involved in religious things, but all the money is being thrown away in buildings and high salaries for people in that building, including the pastors. Because some of these pastors, Rick, I mean, they're living in high heaven because of that money. I mean, let's put it right. Let's put the things right. And that money, just like what we read a little while ago, was supposed to be used for the saints so they could be well off to go and teach this gospel to the needy out there, and also to help the saints inside. So it's a control, just like what you said, Rick. It's a control situation. You must vote this way. You must see this way. You must give this way. You must work this way. All of it of the devil. All of it of the devil.
2 Timothy chapter 4 has a great, great teaching on this as well. When we go to chapter 4, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." Who is the word?
It's Jesus.
How do we know that? We're going to go to John here, and we're going to go to John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not." That's the big deal here. The darkness doesn't understand he's the light. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they, who's they? The teachers shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What is the truth? He is the truth. He is the way. The truth is him.
Yep.
But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. In here at God News Network, one of the things I love that we do, Albert, is we always have the scriptures up. We show you exactly what the scriptures are. Here they are. They're right here in front of you. And when it says, are you not gods in the Old Testament? And then in the New Testament, Jesus himself says, I said, you are not God. So we know by that one statement, it was God himself who said it back in Psalms, not Asaph, but it was God who said that statement, because Christ reiterated it in John chapter 10, verse 32. But he said, talking to us, are you not gods? Why are we gods? It's not because of our own ability and look at our arrogance and look at our ability. It's that we are humbled from the fact that he actually said that we are gods. And because we don't get that identity, we've allowed the world, the enemy of the world, to take over and cause pain and suffering amongst us all, because we don't stand up as this is our planet. That's why I believe that it says in there in prophecy that the whole world groans waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. We are the sons of God. We now are manifesting. That's why it says God News Network, the saints are rising, because we are rising. Those who are listening, who are finding us, it's starting to grow exponentially. It's becoming larger and larger because they are realizing it's bull and it's a lie, just like we're realizing that the media is telling us lies. We're realizing so are false teachers telling us lies, and they've infiltrated into the church.
That's right. And from the beginning, they have been infiltrated into the church. You know, a lot of, they blame us for a lot of things that that Christ taught, you know. This thing that we're teaching right now is nothing that we have come out with. It's something that's in the Bible. Now, why is it that they skip these areas in the Bible? That's my question. Why is it that they skip these areas in the court? Now, they talk about another thing. They talk about that we don't talk about sin. The problem is that they deal with sin in an ungodly way. You see, we deal with sin and what God has told us already, and that is that he has conquered sin. And that's how we deal with sin. Yeah. We're no longer under the law, and the law has sin had the power because of the law. That's what the devil brought in from Adam and Eve. That's how we deal with sin, you see? And we don't tell people that acting in their own works and all that, they have the power of sin because that is the law. You see, the things that we talk about, Rick, are things that are in the Bible. Why isn't that they talk about this in the Bible? You see, they start talking about other things that are not in the Bible. Like, for instance, calling drinking a sin. You know, in the old covenant, even drinking was allowed inside of the temple by law. Now, if you're a drunkard, that's a problem. But don't call what God has made sin. Don't call the saints sinners, because God has purified the food and he has purified the saints. Now, if you have a problem with drinking, then you should abstain from drinking and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to work in that problem with you. But don't call what God has made sin. And don't call a saint a sinner, because what you're doing is that you're becoming a false prophet.
Well, you made it very clear a while ago when you said, why do they skip these parts of the Bible? And instantly I heard God tell me why. You cannot give what you have not received. You cannot teach what you have not learned. Therefore, you can't teach it. So they skip it. They skip things they don't understand. They skip things they don't have a clue of. So if we go, you know, we've taught a lot in 1 John about how sin has been conquered and it is done away with. And if you continue to think you sin, then you don't know Christ because you don't know what he did for you. You don't know what he's done. You don't know his mission. His mission was to destroy the works of the devil. What was the works of the devil? It was the very first thing in the Garden of Eden. It was sin. What was that? It was unbelief. It was believing a false lie about what? About the tree of knowledge of good and evil, about the law. It was always back from the beginning. But also in Romans 6, it talks about this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Right.
In other words, he's making a doctrinal statement here. Do you not know sin is dead?
That's correct.
And that we're dead to sin? That we have no correlation to sin anymore? So how can you live in that any longer?
Right.
Know ye not that so many of us, as are baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Mm-hmm. Now, baptism means you are completely made one with, you are immersed, you are completely immersed in Christ. If you're immersed in Christ, then you say you still have sin, then you're saying Christ still has sin.
That's right.
He is clean. You know, there is no sin that remains in him. Yeah. Therefore, we are buried with him by what? Baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in this beautiful newness of life. That's For right. we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, Rick, when they hear us, all they could hear because of their lack of understanding, all they could hear is that we promote sin. Or that we tolerate sin or whatever. You know, it's what they're talking about. They don't even understand what they're saying because that's not what we're not promoting for people to go out there and start doing whatever they can. Or, you know, I'm not promoting just because I said that God himself, okay, permitted in the temple drinking, okay, or he actually gave a man the knowledge of drink. That wasn't the devil. That was God. If God forbid you telling God that was a sinful thing, okay? Just because he did that does not encourage people to become drunkards. Now, if you becoming a drunkard and all that, and you have a problem, that's something that the Holy Spirit will take care of by teaching you, not that it's wrong, by teaching your identity. And once you understand your identity, you will not fall in weakness. That is what we teach. That is what we teach.
That is what we teach. You're right. I want to read something here in Romans 6 that's just amazing. This is a mistranslation, actually. Okay. Knowing this, what is this? For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Okay. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. And, you know, if you read this, really, the word in the likeness and his wasn't even in the original text. Here's what it said. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also of resurrection. Okay? Knowing this, that our old, what are we knowing? That our old man is crucified with him and that the body of sin might be destroyed. Uh-oh. That henceforth we should not serve sin. But here's the bigger one. Here's a mistranslation. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Might. Okay? Mistranslation. Let me show you. Here is the original. Back in the Hebrew, when we go through the Strong's definition, and we look at the word might be destroyed, it's this word here, right? I think it's Cartageo. Let me hear what it says, actually.
Strong's G, 2673, Cartageo.
Katargeo. Okay. So katargeo is the word used for might be destroyed. So they took that one word and they put up the phrase might be destroyed. Okay. Here's what it means, folks. Hang on to this. This is an amazing thing. To be rendered or render, to be or render entirely idle, useless, literally or figuratively, abolish, cease, cumber, deliver, destroy, do away, become of no effect, fail, loose, bring to naught, put away, vanish away, make void. I don't know how much clearer you can get. So really, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin completely done away with, that henceforth we should not serve sin anymore.
Why is it that they skip this?
They cannot teach what they have not received, Albert. Yeah.
Why is it that when Christ says that he's sitting in the right-hand side of God, and he says that we are sitting in the right-hand side of God, why isn't that what they say that? Why? You know? Why isn't it that when God claims that we're part of him, why isn't that they claim that? They could claim all the other stuff that's not biblical. Why isn't it that they claim this? Because they do not want to claim who we are in Christ.
I believe that. I believe they don't want to claim who we are in Christ, but then we got to have to ask ourselves, why do they not want to claim that? To me, it's one of two reasons. They truly don't know, or they truly do know. It's one of the two. There is no in between, folks. And what does all this mean? For he that is dead is freed. What's really interesting about this is people say chapter 7, Paul was going through a struggle. But time out. In chapter 6, does he sound like he's struggling?
There was no struggle with Paul. I think there was a struggle with the leaders of the church.
He was giving an example of those who do not die. That's why he starts off Romans chapter 7, as long as your husband is alive, you're married to that husband. What's the husband?
Christ.
Yeah. Well, if you're married to the old man, you're married to the law, the old man, the old body of sin, you can't get married to Christ.
Yeah. You can't have both.
You can't have both. So in 6, he says he's freed from sin. In 7, ooh, it's supposed to be a struggle. But in 8, chapter 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation. I think 7 was the example, folks. Wake up. I'm sorry, but it's true. We're just reading from the Word. And the average person who humbles himself is going to get this real easy. The person who wants to say that you are still sinners, woe unto them, because he's going to say in the end of time, I do not know you. Apart from me. I do not know you. We pray that you know him, because this is very hard, heavy weight teaching, but it's not ours. It's not St. Rick's. It's not St. Albert's. It's God himself teaching out of the Word, because he is the Word. And guess what? If you're a saint, you've been freed from sin. If not, we invite you to become a saint. How do you do that? By repeating after me. I confess to you that I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that he was crucified. I believe that he died on the cross. And I believe that he was resurrected to pay for my sin and to destroy the works of the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that, you are now a saint. You are now part of the army of saints that is rising amongst this planet, that is taking back our land, that are the sons and daughters of God that are now being released upon the world so that your power of your sword of the Spirit and your armor of God shall move forth and shall take territory and shall take land right where God has planted you, because that is the purpose and that is the reason that you are here, because you are a saint and the saints are Christ.